much. You're welcome. The best place to always be on Sunday is to be at church. Never sacrifice church for anything. The devil is finding a way of making church look like it's an afterthought. Or if you have time, then you attend. No. Sometimes getting up in the morning is not easy when you're going to office. It's not very easy. You don't feel like going, but you have to go. Not for spiritual blessing, but for financial blessing. Amen. So blessing should be able to move you to God's place. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. There is strength in rejoicing. And there is weakness in sorrow. If you go to a place and you are born, you hear bad news. Before you realize, your whole body starts getting weak. When you hear good news, you get excited. Some that you forget about. Some of you brought some head pain somewhere. You forgot that there is pain there. The joy of the Lord is healing. In this world that we are in, the world do not give us joy. And is gradually telling us that anytime you want to hear about news, you want to hear about bad news. When something bad happens, one, the news is spread. This joy that have come upon all of us, this news will not spread. It doesn't make news. If any journalist write this, nobody will read it. But let somebody fall down and die in church. One, not all of them, one. It will be, they will discuss it from Monday to Saturday. The following week, they do the postmortem. Until another bad news comes to replace it. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's not only our dish. So when Jesus Christ said, I have been anointed to come and preach the good news. Wherever Jesus is, the good news must be preached.
Yes.
And this is good news for you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It was this same joy that Israel had. God said, just march around the wall. You know, when Moses sent them, they saw walls, they saw giants, they saw cities that were well fortified, and they look at the people and they look at themselves. At the same time, they saw the promise. To every promise of God, don't think you go and take it free. They are already giant on your promise. So you must learn how to fight the giant and how to kill the giant. And the church has what it takes to kill the giant. And you have what it takes to kill the giant. Economic giant? Is it financial giant? And other giant. I'm always very excited to talk about one thing. For the God that we relate to him by faith. Faith and holiness are very vital in getting the best out of God. Why will I say faith and holiness? The Bible said that without holiness, no man or woman or whoever you are can never see God. How many of you want to see God? Not when you die. On earth, yeah. You might say, oh, want to see Charlie, God, Pastor. To see God, you must go to heaven. But you can see God and the activities of God in your life on earth, yeah. Without holiness, no man can see God. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So if you want to see God, sometimes peace is running. Peace don't come to you. Peace will always like run away from us. So you will have to chase it to grab peace. So it could be a sister who you don't want to see the face. Pursue it. It takes an effort to pursue something, isn't it? It takes a movement to pursue something at all. You don't stand at one place to pursue. You make a movement. So, he said, pursue what? Peace. Peace is very vital. Anyone that brings confusion in a family, confusion in a church, confusion in a nation, mark the person. He's an agent of the devil. So don't be used as an agent in your workplace. You know, some people, you don't need, they are unlovable. They don't have what it takes to be loved. They have all this kind of things around them that you have to avoid. When I say pursue peace, it doesn't mean that if it's like go and choke yourself to that. No. You can be close. You can pursue it, but there are some you don't touch them. Be at peace, if it is possible, with all men. For God said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? They are what? The sons of God. And it's God's sons. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And sons of God are the one that can see God. Children can recognize their fathers. Huh? So don't add up to the confusion. Add up to the bringing every people together. It doesn't mean that when somebody is doing bad, to be, oh, they say we should be at peace, let's help him. No. You correct people. That is part of bringing, making peace. So that he doesn't repeat that thing to offend many people. Anyone that wants to see God must first pursue peace. The first part of peace you must pursue is peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with one another. Man is at war with God. When we sin, we became enemies because we align ourselves to his enemy, Satan. Whoever sins is a servant. Whoever you obey is your master. Whoever you obeyed means that he's your master. So if we obey sin, sin becomes our master. And if sin is an enemy to God, and God is an enemy to sin, and you are yourself sin, so who are you? And sin is your master. You and your master, you are the enemy to God. So God planned that he wanted to make peace with men, and he sent his only begotten son, which is called Jesus Christ, to come and stand in between man and God. For God loved man, but God hates sin. You know that? You must love the sinner, but hate his sin. That's the way God treats us. He treats us, he loves us, but he hates our sins. So God has to make peace with us. And he sent his son, and his son brought peace offering, poured his blood to wash away your sin. So that whenever God looks at you, he does not see you, he sees his son. That's how God can deal with us here. Like God would have killed all of us one by one. Some of us, we can stand and shout, oh God, so that we insult God. These days, people are bold to do, say anything to God. If I was God, like none of us would be alive. But God, what he did first is to make peace with man, so that man can see him. In the Old Testament, he will make them sacrifice. Sometimes you say, they should not do this for some days before they can come to the mountain before they see him, because you cannot see his action and live. So they will do all those things, looking forward to what Jesus is going to do. So all those things will be done because Christ will come and do it for you. So they move in faith in doing that today. And because of that, God spared them, God will come. You know, there was sometimes they told Moses, you Moses, or it's only you come every day, you come and say, I have heard from God. I have heard from God, I have said, God have said, we too, we want to see that God. He said, okay, don't worry. So he went unto God, said, don't worry, let them come. So they gathered before him, and he said, let everybody purify himself, let everybody sanctify himself, and come and wait. And God, the people were waiting, and they wanted to see some old man with long beard, who is very weak and can talk slow. We have our mental picture of God. I say, you don't know, you don't understand the God you're talking about. So they gathered themselves and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourself that you do not go up to the mountain or touch it, beast. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not the hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sound long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people. And they washed their clothes. They washed their clothes. And now Jesus has given us the cloth of righteousness. When you want to see him, you don't go with that dirty clothes. This is a physical cloth, but now we will have to wear righteousness of cloth and get to him. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was what? There was thundering and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp, what? tremble. You want to talk to God, want to see God. And God is coming and you are trembling and you are afraid. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Look at it. Now the mountain, Mount Sinai, was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like a smoke of furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. He said, that's what he said, I speak face to face with Moses. All the prophets you know, I speak to them in dreams and in. Then the Lord came down upon Sinai and on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses on top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord. And many of them perish. They want to see what is speaking there. Very inquisitive. And they will always want to see. Something is speaking. Me, I want to see. Faith journalists to write. But Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warn us, saying, set bound around the mountain and consecrate it. Then the Lord said to him, away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priest and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. Hey, those days, Old Testament, not small Christian service, sure. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. I want you to understand the story. And God spoke all this way, saying, now the people witnessed the thundering and the flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoke. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar. When God started, he was given a fire, he will speak one. And when he speak first law, he will shake the place and thunder. Before he speaks, when they got to the tent, they said, Moses, go and listen and come. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. 10 laws. He spoke one, do this. 2, 3. By the time he got to the tent, say, hey, Moses, we beg you. If this had the man, this man is going to speak. By the time he finished 400 words, we are gone. So you go and listen. Whatever you tell us, we'll believe it. But thank God, Mount Sinai is difficult to get to. We have come to Christ. Through him, we are able to get in touch with God and hear God speak to us on a personal basis, not through Moses. So holiness is very important to approach God, to see God. If we want to see God at work in our life, let us put holiness first in our life. So I say, hey, in this world, the holiness is for Moses Tamo. Our time is difficult. In fact, it is easier in our time when you have Christ in you. The type of holiness we practice is not an outward holiness. It's an inward holiness that takes control over your life, and that makes you do things that pleases God. It gives us strength to overcome temptation. The holiness is different by washing your cloth, or even not sleeping with a woman, just because when you sleep with a woman, you'll be killed. The holiness in the believer is, I will not sleep with a woman because me, myself, I know it's not good for me. There's something in me that desires to do the right thing. So why should I go and follow a woman? Why should I go and steal? Why should I go and tell lies? You do the right thing from within. The other one is from without. It is forced on you. But this one is your nature that is overcoming your flesh. That's the kind of holiness I want us to live. The holiness that comes from outside cannot last. It is done to please people around. But inside, you are lusting after women. But outside, you are living like a righteous person. Let it come from within, that the spirit within you will crave to do the right thing. What is in David? The Bible said, a man whose heart is after him. Some people have taken it to be licensed that, oh, he'd have taken somebody's wife and God is still looking for it. No. The man, go and read Psalm 50. Go and read his repentance prayer. He's a man that when his sins are revealed to him, he doesn't go back to do the sin. Because it's something within him that he places God first. Once God comes first, other things secondary. It doesn't mean that he can be perfect. No, it's not perfection. But it's a crave within you that will always want to do the right thing. That is how the believer should live. And when you do that, you live more holier than even those who are trying to do outward one. Some people, they fast just for people to know that they are fasting. I remember I met somebody. They were doing some fasting. A friend, very good friend. I was working, a colleague. I went to the toilet and I saw him with bread. I said, why you people are having your... He said, don't tell anybody. And I told him, the way I fast is that I decide I want to fast. Not because you should see me that I'm fasting, but because my God is in every corner. If I enter the toilet, he is inside me there. So if I break the bread, he will see me. So I walk because I know that my God is with me. The Holy Spirit comes into us. That's why I'm always very passionate that when somebody is born again, he needs the word. Because that is what the spirit, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that God has spoken. So you need to study the word, to learn the word, so that the real you will have control over the real body. The body is real. This flesh is real. It has its lust. It has what it wants. It wants some kind of comfort. The spirit also wants something. And sometimes the flesh and the spirit is at war. Within one man, there's no peace. How can you then see God? Somebody in you is struggling to live right. And somebody outside you is forcing you, is making you to do what you don't want to do. Like how Paul said, the good thing that I want to do, I'm not able to do it. If I want to do the good thing, I rather do the bad thing. The good thing which I want to do, I am not able to do it. Rather, the bad thing that I don't want to do. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. What you want to do, you'll find it difficult to practice it, isn't it? But what I hate, that I do. What a controversy of a human being. What you hate, you are doing it. Sometimes you cry, but you still go and do it. You come to jail, oh God, I'm sorry. But something within you that only do good, but something without, outside, seems to be stronger than what is inside, and always overcome it. And sometimes, if you're not very careful, you say, this Christian life doesn't work. Let me go and be in the world so that there won't be any conflict in me. No, that's not the solution. Paul said, look at what Paul said. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Somebody told me, Prophet, this is my mouth. Sometimes I don't want to make a concern. But before I realize, you don't get it. There are certain things you don't want to say before you, oh, this is what we say. This is my mouth. It's my problem, oh. I told God, I will keep my tongue. I will protect my mouth. I will say what you want me to say. But sometimes I'm tempted always. Things that do not even matter about me. I hear it. Sometimes people use it for prayer topic. Have you heard? I want us to pray for brother so-and-so. Sister so-and-so. Hey, let's pray for her. The other day. You polish your sin into prayer topic. Before you realize, you've destroyed the brother to the group. At the end, you don't pray. If you have burden for that brother, the moment you saw it, you get on your knees. Cry for him. Pray for him. Have you prayed for him? If no, why public prayer? Every burden that you have begins with you first. The burden that you yourself, you are not ready to carry it, don't carry it to other people. Are you getting me?
Yes.
The tongue. You know this tongue? Death and life. It's in whatever you say is what directs your life. Holiness. Let's live holy. The world can't live holy. Their definition of holiness is different. It is a church that is a holy church with holy people in it struggling to live holy. If we want to see God, I feel God wants to reveal himself in these last days. I believe that God wants glory to come into his church. I believe that the glory of God will rest in the church, where when we come to church, nobody will be able to minister. I believe God's power will be in the church, where sickness will have no dominion upon his people. I believe that God wants to do it. And before he returns, something spectacular will happen. One, for those who can't believe, to believe or to reject what is real. God will move in his church and will raise his people, and his name shall be exalted, and knees shall bow before him. A time is coming. The church will take its place. Yes, say, hey, you know, the way the people are doing the church, people are doing it. Forget, leave it to God. The church does not belong to me. It does not belong to anyone. You say, prophet, what are you talking about? If a church belongs to somebody and his family, then I won't call it a church. I'll call it a company. If it belongs to God, we may be made the head, the pioneers of what God is doing. I did not die for Holy Ghost temple. My blood was not the one that was shed for you. It is one man that carried the cross for us. And it is he that is the head of the church. To every family, there may be, everybody have got a family. But there are some troublesome people in the family. It doesn't mean that that family do not exist. So I want us to crave for holiness. Create an atmosphere for God to move. Create for an atmosphere for miracles to happen. Create an atmosphere. You saw how the woman who Elijah, when he was passing, the woman saw her. He said, I know you are the holy man. And because she was the holy man of God, she recognized the holy man of God and made what? A room. You know where he made the room? And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is what? A holy man of God who passes by as regular. So when a holy person is passing by, people recognize you. You don't tell them, I am holy. But the holiness will permeate wherever you're walking. And when the man walked, he said, because of that, we want to keep, make a room for holiness. So they did not put God at the basement. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall. And let us put a bed for him there. And a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in here. Be holy! And so that wherever you touch will also be holy. Don't live any kind of life and think something outside holy can help you. Without holiness, no man can see God. Today, before I close, I want you to have peace first. He said, pursue peace with all people. Do you have some problem in your heart with people? Yes. Some of you have it. You find it very difficult to forgive. Forgiveness is when you forgive your cry. Today, I'm talking to you. God is speaking to you. Release that person from your heart. That person is the one, because you kept the one, that person in your heart, when you speak, God will not hear. Even your faith cannot be effective Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, "For assuredly I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, and what? And be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believeth that these things he says will be done, he will have it, whatever he says." Then the verse 24. "Therefore, because when you say it, it will be moved. It will happen. Faith can work. Because of that, whatever things you ask when you pray, do what? Believe you receive them. And what? You will definitely have them." I won't end here. The 25 is the one I'm very serious about. "And whenever you stand praying, the prayer that when you ask, you receive. When you stand praying and you want to receive, if you have anything against anyone, your wife, your husband, your son, your father, your mother, your uncle, even your boss, if you have anything against anyone, what do you do? Forgive him, so that your Father in heaven, the one that makes your faith works, the one that you believe and he dispatches angels to perform, your Father who is in heaven, then he will also do what? Forgive you your trespasses." Sometimes we cross with trespass. It means that places you shouldn't stepped, you stepped. We have stepped places the Bible says we shouldn't step. Different type of sin. The sin of commission. You commit, you do something wrong, it's a sin. There's one, two, you haven't done anything wrong, but you've seen what is good, and you fail to do it. The Bible says that it's a sin. "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." If you know you should not lie to a sister and you lie to the sister, it's a sin. If you know you have to come to church and you fail to come to church, you see how sin can go? If you know that you have to do what? There are so many good things we know we should do. Even if you know you have to pay your tax, and you fail to pay your tax, the Bible says it's a sin. Amen. If you've never given your life to Christ, then you are not at peace with God. By his blood, he brought peace between us and God. But you will have to accept the offer God is giving you. Sometimes there's no peace within you, within your heart. I pray that you get the Prince of Peace in your heart. It is when you have at peace with yourself that you can be at peace with other people. Most of the reason why people begin to fight other people is because they themselves have a war in them. So every place they go, they carry that war to that place. So no matter, even an angel is pastoring people and you don't have peace within you, you will create criticism. So some people, the problem is not because they are bad, because of what they have gone through. Sometimes your auntie can create some bitterness in you when you were young. And as you grow, you think everybody don't like you. So once you are confident and have peace within you, look, let anybody say anything. You know yourself that I am this. You know who you are. So please, you need Christ in you. That will bring peace and confidence. Identity of yourself. He will tell you who you are, Once he comes inside you, look, you know who you are. Look, the past is gone away. Behold, new things have come. If you are here, you've never received him before, stretch forth your hand so that I'll pray with you with that prayer. If you've never accepted him as Lord and personal Savior, just lift up your hand wherever you are sitting, wherever you're standing, and you want the peace of God to come into your heart, which is his son, lift up your hand. If not, gracious, put your hands on your chest. Our Heavenly Father, say, Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and personal Savior. I believe in my heart that you died for me, and the third day you rose up again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.